The scripture today, there are two scriptures. The first is from Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come.
Last week, we were blessed by the life and testimony of Reverend Fred Rogers, aka Mr. Rogers, of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Like Rogers, we see the power and the divine value found in treating others as they want to be treated. Anyone we meet, live with, or next to, engage outside the confines of our home, join hands with in the name of justice. They are our neighbors, a part of our neighborhood. It's what God intended for our life. Neighborhoods ought to be taken seriously. Our own Christian witness depends on our desire to engage those in and around us. How many of you grew up in a neighborhood? How many grew up in a neighborhood? Yeah. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. And people, when I was in college, they used to comically assume that my neighborhood was all dirt roads and small shacks. And it's true, I was in Rhode Island and they would ask, are there any real people down there besides the goats and the pigs and the, okay. I grew up also in a real neighborhood and there were actual streets with street lights, amen. Actually, my neighborhood in my elementary years, we had next to us a custodian right next door for our apartment complex. He was our main guy, and he and his family, they became our dear friends. If we were in need of a toilet repair or a plumbing fix, we could ask him for help anytime, even during his off hours. If we needed someone to look after his fish while he was gone, he would ask us to stop in and make sure they were not wanting. He was truly our friend, not just our custodian. And on the other side, we had the folks with the dog. Oh, yes. We all had the dog, the neighborhood dog, the chihuahua, who was so tiny, yet so loud and boisterous. And of course, if you got too close to his domain, what would he do? He would chase you back from whence you came. But I must quickly add that I was the fastest among my siblings, just for the record. And across the street, you had the family who put a gate around their home, letting you know that you shall not pass. We all had those kind of neighbors, too, in our neighborhood. I could say more about the folks around me, but I'll bet your neighborhood growing up with some degree like mine. You had good neighbors, not so good neighbors, and some really bad neighbors. But the question still must be asked, what influence would a vibrant Christian person or family in their neighborhood look like? How does an authentic Christian, that's you and me, influence the very neighbors of our life? And of course, there's a grander question for all of us. What influence should a church, our church, have in our neighborhood, our community, even this world? Questions for thought, indeed. Hear these words from Matthew's Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled upon people's feet. Wow, I love those words. Jesus was the master illustrator. He could take profound truth and put it in terms that thinkers and believers like us could understand. What's more common than salt and light? You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. What do salt and light have in common? Well, they both affect and they both influence. Wherever salt goes, it has an influence. Wherever light shines, it affects. In the ancient world, salt had two primary functions. The first was as a preservative. Salt was rubbed into meat to slow down decay. And to this day, if you go to other parts of the world, they have what are called open-air markets with meat hanging everywhere with salt to preserve. It's not for the faint of heart, you might say, but a part of their culture. Preserving food was very important in a society that didn't have freezers and didn't have refrigerators. Salt was also used in the same way that we use it. If someone says, please pass the salt, you're not thinking, oh, he wants to preserve his food. No, you're thinking, wow, we're going to bring some kick and some pump, some zest to that opportunity, that food, that great meal. Even adding a little salt to watermelon brings out its flavor. Some people know that. Some people know that already in this room. The we that he is talking about are those Christ believers, those folks who follow the teachings of Christ, not just a good moral and nice people, folks who have a strong sense of responsibility and accountability to God's work in the world, those who call themselves Christians and those who call themselves followers of our Jesus. He goes on to ask the question, if salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? If salt no longer has the effect it is supposed to, what value does it have? It has none. Salt that isn't salty is useless salt. He goes on. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, oh no, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. This verse is the inspiration for the well-known children's song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, oh no, I'm gonna let it shine. And on it goes. Our kids, they get the song. Do we? They're into it. Are we? What Jesus is aiming at is that his followers, living as his followers, are like a city on a hill. Cities, they put off light. I was in Chicago about 2 years ago, and I was in one of its tall buildings, and it was so awe-inspiring to see the lights of the city. It can be seen from miles away. And that's truer for a city on a hill. It can be seen by everybody around it. The purpose of light is at night is to help you see. That's why nobody puts a bowl or anything heavy over a light at night. It defeats the purpose. Hide it under a bushel? Oh, no. Our kids get it. Do we? Of course, none of this good news about salt and light matters if we keep to ourselves or choose to limit our vision to those things that we can control. Salty light is so reactive, it cannot be contained. So the question must be asked, are you salty? Are you salty this morning? Are you luminescent today through and through? To be effective in the art of neighboring by treating others the way they want to be treated, I'm convinced that we must be involved where we work and where we live. Involved where we work and where we live. And this puts us in a tension. This puts us in a not so comfortable place because let's be honest, Fairview friends, the dominant culture in which we live, it doesn't necessarily embrace our progressivism, our approach to life. Yet I stand here today saying that it's imperative that we not lose heart and that we stay focused on what God intends for this world. But we live in that tense place. The majority of time, living according to the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew, it may lead to success in life, but you know, and I know, that sometimes we need to be prepared for the times that it doesn't. What will we do if showing mercy and making peace or working for justice in this world jeopardizes our position at work? We know that withdrawing from the world is not an option for us. It's not something that we can take seriously. But it is difficult, we say to God, to live in this world, ready to challenge its ways at any time. in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, he acknowledged this persecution. He named it for what it was. Yet, he insists that in our contact with this culture, his culture, even our own, we must retain our saltiness, our distinctiveness. It's a balancing act that we must maintain. You are the light of the world. The job description of a follower of Christ is not only to maintain holiness and niceties, but also to touch the lives of everyone around us. At work, we touch many people who do not encounter Christ in church. It may be our most effective way to witness to Christ. But we have to be careful, yes, we do, about how we witness. We have to be mindful about how we do it. We are being paid to do our work, you say to the preacher, and I agree. Yes, we are. And it will be honest, you would say, and I agree, to stint our employers by using work time for evangelism. Moreover, it would be dishonorable to create divisions at work or a kind of hostile environment. We must avoid any stint where someone may accuse us of proselytizing. And we always run the risk that our failings at work may bring shame on the very name of Christ, especially if we seem to be enthusiastic about evangelism, but not our own work. You don't have to say amen on that, but I'll say amen on that. So some may look at that and say, well, brother preacher, you put all these things on the table, these don'ts and these don'ts and these concerns and these risks and these dangers and these potentials, yet you say we're still the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Well, then how do we become salty light given those circumstances? What would God have us do given those realities? I love Jesus again with his illustration. He said that light is not necessarily in the witness of our words, but in the nature and the character of our deeds. Good works, our good works. He says, let your light so shine before men, and we would add women, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father, Mother, who is in heaven. The Beatitudes have spelled out some of those good deeds in humility and submission to God. We work for right relations, for merciful actions, and for peace. Where we live as a people, as a blessing, we are the salt and light in the workplace, in our homes, in Costa Mesa, in our towns, even this world. Our light, so it seems, is those good deeds that we do that are the byproduct of our faith in God. If you're looking for the key to your saltiness today, my friends, it is found and locked within your actions, your deeds. It is the moral and spiritual light put off by the testimony of our lives, lived out in the spiritual darkness of this world. Now, this doesn't mean that we're perfect. Far from it. Let's make that clear this morning. Rather, it means that the hope of forgiveness in Christ and his resurrection shine over the reality of our day's sin and despair. The testimony of changed lives and a real hope in this life. The verse concludes even so that by suggesting that people focus on their deeds and by doing good, even those who we perform those acts on behalf of will be blessed and possibly even glorify our Father Mother who is in heaven. In other words, they are introduced to our faith by what we do. You see, there are profound implications to being named salt and light. It means that we are to flavor the world. We are to season and transform human activity in such a way that it reveals God in this world. It means we are to help people better to see God's life in theirs. It means we are to enlighten the dark places of this world. You and I are the means by which God flavors and illuminates this universe. Hallelujah. Amen. Christ has given us the salt and light of his divinity, not just for ourselves, but that others might eat and see better. The salt of divinity that was so poured out into our hands, we are to sprinkle into this world. The light of divinity that fills our hearts and minds is to shine on and brighten all of life. But again, you ask the question, brother preacher, it sounds good, but again, what is salty light? Let us get a better and deeper understanding exactly of where you're going. What does it mean for us to use this in our neighborhoods? You can't leave us hanging, brother preacher. Talk some more about this. The more I preach about it, the more I think about it, the more I write about it, the more I'm convinced, Fairview friends, that this salty light is actually much more practical and much more tangible than perhaps it even sounds. It makes a difference in the world and to those around us in doing all we can right where we are to be good citizens of our city, like the writer exhorts us to be in the book of Hebrews. What is this salty light we preach of? What is this salty light to which God has called us? It is being present to our neighbors, knowing their names, not simply their faces. Are we engaging in neighborhood watches, being a part of potlucks and sharing meals in our communities? What an awesome thing it is to share food to create neighborly community. I love food. How about you? It is getting to know the folks on the other side of the city and their concerns, working hard to bring hope and peace to a desperate time in whatever form it is needed. I think we're getting somewhere, Fairview. It is looking at another in their eyes, speaking a kind word, offering a nice gesture, maybe even a hug to him or her. Because why? They were created in the beautiful image and likeness of our God. They are chosen of God. They are beautiful right as they are. Amen in this room. Try that with someone who has been labeled as a welfare mother, a panhandler, maybe even a gang kid, and see what happens. It is generosity with your compassion. It is generosity with your time and your money to take care and to make a difference in the lives of the poor, the hungry, the oppressed, the homeless, our neighbors without homes. Can we be that city? Can we be that light? Can we bring something that this world so desperately needs in the form of our hands and our feet? It is starting a conversation and rebuilding a relationship when you mostly feel indifference, pain, or anger. Can I keep preaching at this time in this house? It is praying that God will bless with all the good gifts you want for yourself and those you love, those who have hurt you even, those who are different from you, and those with whom you might disagree. It is listening to the prophet Isaiah when he speaks of loosening the bonds of injustice and letting the oppressed go free, so that maybe, just maybe, salt and light, they're like politics that aren't dependent on control and power, but they establish a society of equality, mutuality, and diversity. Hallelujah. And they recognize the dignity of every human being. Would you support that kind of legislation? Would you support that kind of candidate? Would you even offer yourself as that kind of candidate? It is faithfulness and commitment to others shown by listening, being available, and spending time. It would mean slowing down, rearranging your schedule, and valuing presence over efficiency and productivity. I don't hear an amen in this house. It is choosing a life of self-giving rather than taking and acquiring, vulnerability rather than defensiveness. Intimacy rather than isolation. Hallelujah in this house. It means that you just might get hurt, but find your joy on the other side. I don't hear an amen in it, but that's all right. It is loving God, your neighbor, your enemy, yourself. It means choice takes precedence over your feelings. Why? Because Christ has asked us to be light and salt in this world. It is recognizing that we aren't the only church engaged in this conversation, even right now. St. John the Divine Episcopal, Rock Harbor, the Presbyterian Church of the Covenant, even St. James Anglican Church, they're all thinking about this, y'all. We're all thinking critically and hopefully wonderfully about how we can be better neighbors to ourselves, those around us in this community. So the question must be asked, what can we do even in partnership with them to bring God's hope and love to this world? I'm persuaded that to live as salt of the earth and light of the world is to know our deepest, truest, authentic self. It is the life we long for and the life of God that desires so much for us. It is both who we are and how we are to be. That's why Jesus is so adamant. He is so interested in this idea that we not lose our saltiness and that we not hide our light. To do so is to lose and to hide our life. To do so in some way denies our Christ. Salt that has no flavor and light that is hidden, they are worthless. They're not really themselves. They are neither true nor authentic. They are not real. That's neither what we want or what we ought to be. God intends so much more for us. No one walks into a room, flips the switch, and hopes that the lights come on. We all know. We all know that it takes energy and desire and a passion to make good things happen in this world. And we've been in situations where things just haven't always worked out so well. Maybe our plan was perfect, but the execution wasn't quite so much. And maybe we felt a little despair and a little hopeless about doing it again and trying again and moving forward again. But somehow, some way, we hear the echo of Jesus in our hearts, and we hear his spirit push us and prod us again to say, keep going, because you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Don't give up. Try again, because I have commanded so, and it is right for your life that you do so. Hallelujah in this house. If we are salt and if we are light, then we ought to be tasted and seen by the world. If our relationships are bland and flavorless, if our world is dark and filled with shadows, maybe we've not taken our faith so seriously. Maybe we've not been faithful by trusting our own saltiness and our own light. Maybe we've forgotten who we are. Maybe we never knew. Regardless of where we are in our faith, I think we are all looking for the salt and the light within us and how we can best be that for others. The past week, I have had conversations with people about this very question. And they didn't say salt or light, Fairview. They didn't even know what they were talking about, perhaps, from our perspective. How to be real, how to be authentic. How to make a difference. They were all searching and acknowledging this emptiness with which something had to feel and something had to change. And they needed some assurance that this life had a purpose and that they could be a part of that journey with God. They were asking good questions, and I asked even more good questions, reflecting on our lives together and working to live faithfully with the God who loves us. They heard an echo of God in their hearts, and to us, that echo is our Jesus saying, I'm here. You are my hands. You are my feet. We've got work to do. I think that's what he was saying in our gospel today. Behold the salty light that you are. Become that for the life of this city and world. Let them taste and see, he tells us. I can't tell you how to do it. I can't tell you what it's going to look like in your situation. It will be particular to where you are, your circumstances, your gifts, your passions, your vision for this world, the dreams you have for yourself and those around you. I can't tell you what it looks like, but you know. In whatever ways you do this, in whatever ways you commit yourself to a light and a saltiness that makes a difference, that actually affects and influences, I hope that you know that as you do it, you are revealing the embodiment of God in this world, God with us. In that moment, they and you will taste life and see the world as you've never seen it before. May God use us that we might flavor this world and change the lives of those with whom we come into contact with, that we simply get to ask the question, won't you be my neighbor?